All right. Well, good morning. It's wonderful to see everyone here this morning as we have our first Sunday of fall. It's the best season of the year. I don't know if you have a different opinion, but this is the right opinion. Autumn is the best time of the year. And so I'm glad to be here and starting a new class. So let me go ahead and open us with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in and talk about what we're going to be discussing here this fall semester. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you call us to worship. We thank you that you call us not just to mindlessly come and mime rituals and perform ceremonies that have no meanings for our lives or don't connect us to you in any meaningful way. Lord, we know that as we come and worship, we're not coming to appease the gods as our pagan ancestors may have done, but that we come at the invitation of the living and true God, that we come to have relationship with you, to be united to you and to have communion with you, and to allow that union and communion to shape and transform every aspect of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that as we come, not just on a Sunday, wearing our suits and dresses, to worship you, but as we live life Monday through Saturday, as we live life in the trenches, in our homes, in our workplaces, in the ordinary and sometimes messy relationships of life, that your word reaches into and speaks to every one of those situations, every one of those interactions. And so we thank you, Lord, today that as we come to talk about the important subject of parenting, that we're not just swapping tips and tricks for how to manage our kids, as the world might do, but that we're coming to listen to your word, to what you say about how we are to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and how we are to be a blessing to them as parents. And so I pray that you would bless our time, bless our study, and make this introduction class profitable for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as I say, we are beginning a brand new study this morning. We're going to be looking at Paul Tripp's book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. Many of you may have already picked up a copy of this book. If so, that's wonderful. Today we're going to be covering the introduction, and I'll kind of explain some other things as well as we go. And then as we move through this class, this is going to be maybe a shorter class than some of our classes. We're going to basically have 7 weeks after this to go through this book, which means we'll go through two chapters a week, which might sound like a lot, but Tripp, if you've read his books before, is a very easy read. He has lots of examples and stories to help drive home his point, and so I think you'll find it a good pace for us to work through. And if you don't have the book, that's fine as well. We'll be kind of giving the summary of what's to be communicated there and discussing those things together. So that's our plan. As we begin, I'm just curious to kind of get a head count. How many of you are currently responsible for raising children? You raise your hand. Okay, so some. My goal is that by the end of this class, all of you would have raised your hands, because that was a bit of a trick question. I know I sounded like I'm asking who has kids here, right? But I phrased it the way I did for a reason. Who here is responsible for helping to raise children? And if you are a member of Christ's body, your hand should be raised, right? And so today what I want to do is talk about really two things. First, why we need this class, and then second, what this class is designed to do. So let me just kind of follow up on my trick question there and unpack a little bit of why I think we need this class. Whether you're married or unmarried, whether you have little kids, whether you have adult kids, whether you have no kids at all, right? Why is this class important? And I think the first kind of argument I want to make for us is that this class is important for all of us to consider because of our covenant theology, because of our covenant commitments. Let me just invite you to think back to maybe the last time that we had a baptism here at Catoctin. I know some of your churches may be different traditions, but we are very intentional and self-conscious about baptizing the children of believers. We believe that they are part of our community and that we have obligations and responsibilities to them, as well as promises that God speaks over them. That can be another discussion for another time. But if you have seen an infant baptism performed, you'll know that one of the things that we remind ourselves of at a baptism, especially the baptism of a child, is that all of us as members are actually responsible for and make vows to help the parents in raising that children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, let me just kind of throw this out there. What are some practical ways that we might actually do that? I mean, that's a nice kind of gesture to make, you know, say, oh yes, I'll help. But what are some ways that you might actually help another parent or another family to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? What might that look like? Yeah, Jenny. Amen. Yes. Pray. Pray for the parents. Pray for the children. Look at those families. Go through your directory. Pray for those in our congregation. That's a very practical, I would say, foundational way of living out that vow. What are some other ways that we might do that? Yes, Rick. Yes, so especially those who are further along in their Christian journey or further along in their experience of parenting, keeping an eye out for those who are just beginning or those who maybe are struggling, and just coming alongside them, being a listening ear, having words of wisdom, giving that perspective that can be so hard to find when you're kind of down in the weeds of parenting. Absolutely. What else? What are some other examples? Yes, yes. I think that's a good compliment to what Rick was talking about of, you know, those who are further along, you know, be looking out for how you could help mentor those parents, but also how you can help the parents, you know, with the children. Sometimes having that relationship or connection can be really formative. And again, it's not always hearing new things, but somehow it's heard in a new way. I know in my own experience, when I was kind of in my teen years, there were a group of young men who were probably in their, you know, early 30s at the time. So they were, you know, a little closer to me than my parents were, but definitely older than me. And yet they were really kind and just welcomed me into their circle and talked theology with me and treated me as a peer, even though I wasn't in many ways. And that had a big impact on me. And I'm sure many of us can think of examples like that. Anything else that comes to mind? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's a very practical way of taking the faith, teaching it to our children. And so, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, having those, you know, seeing that we have a responsibility and an opportunity with all the families in our church, right? That's what I hope we can get, is that those covenant vows that we make are not just kind of a dusty part of our tradition that we can, you know, bring out when there's a baby to be baptized and then we forget it until the next baby comes along. No, it should be something that every time we hear that should be a kind of reminder and an encouragement. Oh yes, I'm actually bound covenantally to the children in our body. We call them covenant children for a reason. And so no matter what stage or age of life you are at, parenting is practical. Right? Because all of us are responsible to help each other in raising up our children. And so having a good understanding of what that is like, if you've been through this journey, going back to the kind of foundational principles and understanding, yeah, what is the task of a parent? You know, what should I be encouraging that young mom with? What should I say to that dad when he's completely frazzled and doesn't know what to do? I think it'll be helpful for us in those ways. And just segueing from that to the next reason why we need this class, I think what you'll find is that the parenting principles we're going to be talking about really extend far beyond parenting, right? If this was a class that was mostly going to talk about, you know, what is the optimal bedtime, you know, and should you do spanking or time out or, you know, what age should a child get a smartphone, you know, then probably a lot of you would be sitting here going, this has no application to me. But as we'll talk about in a moment here, that's not really what this class is designed for, partially because those particular questions are so tied to particular stages of life. And so even those of us who are parents are not all dealing with the same parenting problems or issues. Rather, what we want to talk about are kind of the things underneath that, the foundational things or the framework things that can help us to navigate those particular questions. And so what I would love to see coming out of this class is that we collectively can be walking back through what the Bible says, not just about parents and kids, but about relationships in general, about our identity in general, about our calling and work as Christians in general, and how that applies to parenting at a broad level. And then I would love to see parents, you know, young parents, you know, putting their heads together, older parents mentoring younger parents, a lot of those conversations, you know, around our fellowship tables and in our homes, working out, so, okay, we're talking about this principle in the parenting class. Here's the problem I'm facing. How have you guys navigated that? Or how have you thought about those things? And that we can encourage each other in those ways. So my hope is that this class will just kind of prime the pump and get us thinking about how we can encourage each other and how we can be faithful in these things as well. And then the third thing I want to mention here is that while all of us have a kind of general opportunity and obligation to minister to our children as members of the body, most of us either are or will be parents, right? God calls some to singleness. That's a high calling. It's a noble calling. We're very grateful for that. But the ordinary pattern of life for most people will be to get married and have children. That's part of God's plan and command. And we want to support and encourage that. And so we think this is an important class for us to offer as part of our discipleship and faithfulness as a congregation, to be thinking about these things. And let me just speak, because there's a lot of young people, a lot of college students here, high school students. Now is a great time to get a general exposure to these things. Because if you think you'll have more time to think about this when there are little people grabbing onto you, you won't, right? And so to just have a general walkthrough of how does the Bible want me to think about what my job is going to be as a mom or as a dad, this is a good time to just get that exposure, hear some of those things, because what you may not realize is you have a philosophy of parenting in your mind. And it's probably picked up from either wanting to do the things that your parents did that you liked, or not wanting to do the things that your parents did that you didn't like. And it's probably not self-conscious and articulated, but it is there. And when you are faced with a human child that you have to care for 24/7, that philosophy is going to drive you, right? But the question is, to what extent does that philosophy actually reflect the Bible's approach to parenting? And as we're going to see, the Bible has a lot to say to parents and to us in our relationships in general. And so this is a chance, even if you are kind of looking down the road and saying, okay, parenting is a ways off, we think this will be helpful for you for those reasons. So those are just a couple of reasons why we think we as a church need this class and why we hope it will be helpful. So anything to add kind of to that, thoughts, parents or elders? Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah, last year we as elders went through a book that Paul Tripp had written on leadership. And he kind of says in the introduction to the book, he says, I just keep writing the same book over and over again and getting it published. But he said, I'm basically just taking the gospel and just, what are the implications of this for leaders? What are the implications of this for parents? What are the implications of this for our relationships with each other? These are foundational things that I think will be helpful. And that really brings us right into the second thing I want to talk about here in this introductory class, which is, what exactly is this class designed to do? We said it's not a class that's going to dive into, you know, the optimal bedtime and diet and, you know, breastfeeding versus, you know, bottles, or we're not doing any of that. Okay. Those are important discussions. Have those with each other. Talk to each other. Work things out. But what this is designed to do is to give a big picture parenting worldview. And that's Tripp's language. He talks about how, you know, when he does these parenting conferences and things, parents will come up to him almost frantic to say, I want you to tell me exactly what I should do in this particular situation. And if you have any experience, right, you'll know that every situation is different. Every child is different. Every parent is different. And the Bible doesn't operate in that way, does it? It's not this kind of massive reference book that when you find yourself in problem D6, you can flip over here to paragraph 53 and find exactly what you should do and you move on with life, right? And then the men's breakfast, we've been studying the book of Proverbs, which is designed to build wisdom. And that's what the Bible as a whole does, is it gives us the gospel. It brings us into right relationship with God. It shows us perfect humanity in Jesus Christ, and then it builds wisdom and cultivates virtue in us as we walk by the Spirit to learn how to deal with those situations. And so if we're going to speak with a thus saith the Lord, it's going to be from that perspective of that big picture, in this case, parenting worldview. And the particulars are things that we can work out with wisdom together. That's really what this is going to be built around and focused on. And I want to kind of introduce us to what those principles are in a moment. But first, I want to talk about what Tripp covers in this introduction. So just, there's no shame in this, okay, if you haven't. But just so I know what level of familiarity we're at. Who has had a chance to read the introduction? Who hasn't? Okay, good. So this is new for most of us. Great. Okay, I just want to know how much time to sort of spend here. So, Tripp, oh, yes. Okay, so we've given a kind of introduction, why we need this class, we're talking about what this class is designed to do, give us that big picture parenting worldview, and I want to kind of dive into, I think, an important distinction that Tripp makes in the introduction to his book. He says that there are at least two different paradigms that we might have as we approach the task of parenting. And he talks about the first paradigm as being the ownership paradigm, the ownership paradigm of parenting. Now, can anybody who maybe had a chance to look at the intro give us a sense of what exactly is he meaning by that term? What does that look like to approach parenting with an ownership paradigm? Yes, that term is meant to be provocative because I'm sure all of us kind of think, what? I don't think of myself as owning my children, right? But what he's getting at is the heart attitude that's reflected in a lot of the ways that we parent reflects the reality that we often approach our kids as if we are the owners, right? And so he contrasts that with ambassadorial parenting. So thinking of yourself as an owner versus thinking of yourself as an ambassador. So an owner is the one who has full and final responsibility and authority over whatever it is that they own, right? It's my car. I can paint it, you know, neon green if I want to, right? That kind of approach. Versus an ambassador is someone who has real authority. You know, what they say matters. If we hear that the U.S. ambassador, you know, says, oh yeah, we have no problem using nuclear weapons, you know, tomorrow. Well, that's going to have big ramifications for geopolitics, right? He has real authority. His voice matters. And yet, where does that authority come from? Well, it comes from someone else. It's a delegated authority. It's a representative authority. And he is placed in a particular place in order to represent the authority behind him and to advance the interest of that authority in the particular location where he has been placed. And Tripp wants us to think of ourselves as parents that way. That if you are a mother or you are a father, you are representing God to your children. That you are functioning like an ambassador within your family. And the contrast between these two approaches is going to have radical implications for how you think about your children, how you respond to your children, and how you process yourself in your own role. So let me just give you a quote here that kind of tries to sum up the difference, and then we're going to walk through four different ways in which Tripp says there's a contrast here, and I think it'll become clearer as we do that. But he says on page 15, here's what that means at a street level, the difference between these two views. Parenting is not first about what we want for our children, or from our children, but about what God in grace has planned to do through us in our children. Let me read that again. Here's what that means at a street level. Parenting is not first about what we want for our children or from our children, but about what God in grace has planned to do through us in our children. So that ownership approach might reflect itself in a kind of controlling authoritarianism, right? But it could also look like being completely, you know, anxious and nervous and worried about what our kids are doing because we think that we're the ones who have the final authority in their life. We're the ones who should be making them into what we think they need to be, and as if we're the ones who are fully and finally in charge. And that attitude, whether it's of kind of domineering control or anxious fretfulness, and, you know, depending on your personality, or whether you're a mom or a dad, you might have a temptation towards one or the other of those things, is reflecting that we're missing the fact that while we have an important role to play, it's in relationship to God and His authority. Now, if that's a little fuzzy to you, I think it'll become clearer if we just walk through a few things. And in his introduction, Paul Tripp really takes, you know, four areas and says that we can look at how those different approaches play out in relation to these things, and it helps us to catch the distinction. So here are the four kind of categories for you. He says we can think of it in terms of our identity, in terms of our work, in terms of our success, and in terms of our reputation. Identity, work, success, and reputation. So identity, what is that getting at? Well, really, identity is answering the question, where do you look to find your sense of who you are? Right? Where do you look to find your sense of who you are? And let's think about this particularly in relationship to parenting. So how would an ownership mentality maybe answer that question? Where would that sense of identity or value come from? Yes, yes. Yeah, your sense of identity and value is tied directly to your children. And so that can look like a number of things. It might look like, you know, they're going to play baseball. You know, how could they not play baseball? They're going to play the cello. They're, you know, how could they not play the cello? And when they play baseball well, your identity, your value just swells. You know, I am the great parent. This is exactly what I dreamed. You know, finally I'm getting what's my due. And when they are picking daisies in the field and the baseball is flying over their head, you feel shame and anger and frustration. How dare that child be so bad at baseball? Don't they know what they're here for, right? And we don't say it that way, but that doesn't that come out in different ways? That we take inordinate pride and our children's accomplishment, and we get very frustrated often, not primarily because of their sin, although sometimes we should, but sometimes it's not because of their sin, but because of how their sin is affecting us. That's what really rubs us the wrong way. And that's reflecting, I think, a heart that is tethering our identity and our value to our kids' performance, which often means them performing according to what our expectations were, whether those were communicated or not, whether they were biblical or not. We come in, as I said, with a built-in parenting paradigm and a built-in set of expectations, which may not even be clear to ourselves. That's the tricky thing. You may not realize it until many years down the road or many conversations with your spouse. And spouses, that's part of our privilege, is to help each other kind of uncover what is driving me as a dad? What's driving you as a mom? And how can we conform that to Scripture? But that's one of the areas where this difference might be reflected. An owner is going to tie their sense of value and worth to their kid's performance, whereas an ambassador is going to look elsewhere for their identity. Where are they going to look to understand who they are and what they are to do? Yeah. Yes. Exactly. If you're an ambassador in a country and the country that you're in is not happy with you at the moment, that may create some difficulties in your life. But if you look back and your country is saying, yes, you're advancing our interests, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do, you should be fine with that. Right. And as parents, we often find ourselves caught. Right. Because we make it a one dimensional relationship rather than recognizing we have a dual relationship, as it were. And so that's going to drive things. Yeah. Mark. Yes, 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 absolutely. So identity is one area that kind of uncovers how are we approaching parenting. Yes, Judy. Yes, yes, yes. And that ties directly to the next area, which is work. So what do you define as the work that you have been called to do? What does it mean to be a parent? What's your job? How would an ownership paradigm answer that question? Yeah, and you find that they're not a lump of clay. They've got their own will. They've got their own plans. They've got their own dreams. And so many of the clashes we experience are a reflection of competing visions of what you are going to be or become, right? So an ownership paradigm is going to come out in terms of how you see what you see your job as being, you know, to make them into a certain ideal or image. Or a lot of parents kind of settle for kind of a low bar of saying, well, my job is to, you know, get them through high school or college or whatever, you know, whatever level it is, you know, get them through school, keep them out of prison, and hopefully, you know, make sure they don't get on drugs or something, you know, and then I've launched them and I was a good parent. You know, that was my goal. Is that what the Bible calls us to. Is that the bar that we have? Either to kind of create these, accomplished, Rhodes Scholars, whatever, high achieving, people, who have everything that we didn't have or wanted to have, or to just, have kids that don't die and aren't part of a gang, Well, if you have that ownership model, depending on how hard parenting is on a given day, you're going to tend towards one of those two goals, right? The really high goal or the really low goal. But if you're an ambassador, what do you define as the work you've been called to do? Well, in a sense, it is to help them be formed into a certain image, but it's not the image of the ideal person that you wish you yourself were, or that you think you yourself are, and you're trying to measure them up to you. Is to help your children be formed into God's image, right? Into the image of Christ. Yes. That's a critical distinction. One of Paul Tripp's probably more well-known books is a wonderful book called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And basically the thesis of that book, again, it's the same book as this book in a sense, is that God is the one who is at work in all of our relationships. But He uses us as instruments in His hands. And so we have a role to play, but it's not as the master architect and master workman who comes up with what the plan needs to be and then forces our will upon others or something. It's rather being a servant to be used by God to help, in this case, your children, but it could also be, again, co-workers. It could be fellow church members. It could be other family members. It could be adult children or adult siblings. You know, in all these different dynamics, you begin to think of yourself as someone who is in need of change yourself, who is in need of sanctification, and who also has a role to play in helping others to be sanctified and to come to Christ. And that will radically begin to shape what you see your job as being day to day. Now, we're going to unpack all of these things and how they apply more throughout the book. I just want to kind of give you the big picture contrast here. Thirdly, then, it's going to flow out in terms of your sense of success. So how do you measure how you're doing as a parent, right? Well, again, what would the owner model be? You know, your identity is tied to your kids' performance. Your job is to form them into whatever your image of perfection is. So how do you know if you are succeeding as a parent in that model? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. How many of those, parent bumper stickers can I stick on my minivan to say, hey, honor student and, all of these things. We're very prone to that, And I'll just add this, as someone who, grew up homeschooled, we're pursuing homeschooling. When we sit down as parents, like, what do we want to teach our children? This is prime territory for this kind of thinking where I'm like, I want them to know this and this and this and this. And I'm just thinking about how much smarter they're going to be than all the other kids. And it makes my heart so happy. It's an ownership mentality. It's pride and it's vicarious pride, right? Our success is tied to their outcomes, their performance, their accomplishments, their achievements, right? But an ambassador says, I'm not so worried about their achievements in the kind of public way. I'm worried about their obedience, right? Their obedience to Christ. You're worried about their heart. So yes, it's wonderful if God has blessed them with athleticism, and they can be achieving things on the field, They may be a great debater. They may be a great writer. They may be a gifted musician. But if their heart is full of pride and self-satisfaction and smugness, then you as a parent should be worried more about their heart than about their achievements in whatever this area is, right? And you recognize that your job is not just to push them to win the most awards in whatever their area of life is, but to help them navigate both their failures and their successes. Sometimes the successes can be more of a spiritual challenge than the failures can be. And so, again, as a parent, you realize my goal is not to turn them into the top of their field, but to help them be faithful to Christ, whatever their field is, and to help them navigate the joys and the trials, the successes and the failures of those various things. So how do you measure your parenting? That's gonna reflect here. And then the fourth area is reputation. This can be a hard one. Not just how do you measure your parenting, but how do they measure your parenting, right? Whoever they is, and this goes directly to Elder Mitch's comment that one of the ways that we can serve each other as parents is Yes, if we see struggling families, step in, be a mentor, be an encourager, you know, offer advice and wisdom. That is a blessing and a way of fulfilling our membership vows, you know. But, you know, scowls and crossed arms and kind of, you know, why is that child crying thing, is not helping our kids or our parents. But, and I will say this, this church I think is very good at encouraging and helping families. You know, when we were in seminary, I won't mention any names of churches, but we had the chance to visit like 12 churches because Grand Rapids is a strange place and has lots and lots and lots of Reformed churches. It was great. We got to visit different places. Many of them were wonderful, but there were definitely some places where as a parent, you could tell, you were not welcome. And then other places you could tell you are welcome, you know, and I think by God's grace, this is a place where parents and kids are welcome. Let's continue that. Let's keep that. But one of the ways that that can be reflected for us as parents is we approach our kids as owners. We tie our reputation and our identity to them, which means we believe that our kids owe us a good reputation. And here's how you can tell if your heart is slipping into this approach, right? When your child misbehaves in public, what is your response? And I want to speak for myself. Oftentimes my response is frustration with my child. Why? Because I think I deserve to have a good reputation. I want people to think well of me, and you are getting in the way of that goal. You know, I'm not primarily worried that they're, you know, pulling the other kid's hair and sinning and that there's a hard attitude that needs to be addressed there. I'm embarrassed that other people are seeing it, right? And so there is something to be worked on in the child pulling the hair, but there's also something to be worked on in the parent who is silently fuming at the child for sinning in public, right? The ownership mentality is going to, think our kids owe us a good reputation, and we're going to feel good if they're behaving well in public, regardless of what's going on in their heart. And we're going to feel bad if they're not behaving well in public, not because we're worried about their hearts, but because we're worried about our reputation. But an ambassador is going to approach that in a different way. It's going to recognize that, as he'll flesh out in the book, you know, part of the reality of parenting, part of the call and the sacrifice of parenting is, people are going to misunderstand, you know, sometimes. They're going to see you at your worst. You know, they never seem to see you at your best. You know, they always see you at your worst. But that's just the way it is. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that much, right? Because your goal, your identity, your work, your success is not about external perfection. It's about helping this child come to know and love God, come to glorify and enjoy Him forever. And in that process, for you to grow in glorifying and enjoying God forever. And so parenting is as much about us changing and being sanctified as it is about them changing and being sanctified. This is part of why God structured it this way. You know, this is why He doesn't just kind of take a kind of communal approach of, well, we'll have a few people who are responsible for raising the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and the rest of us can be productive members of society. That's not the pattern. The pattern is, you know, smush all the sinners together in a house and in a minivan or 15-passenger van, and let's see some sanctification, you know, because that's where that comes from. But that's what God is doing in our lives in these ways. So that's a kind of big picture of why we think this class will be helpful for us, what we think this class is designed to do, and of that contrast that I want us to hold in mind. And as Mark said, it's a contrast that it applies to parenting, I think, very directly. But I hope you can already begin to draw connections of, oh, this will reflect the way that I approach my team at work or the roommates that I have at college or the relationships that I have in whatever sphere of life. So I wanted to put those things in front of you. I want to also pass out, if I could maybe just have a hand doing this. I hope we have enough copies here. But these are the 14 principles that we're going to work through. My wife was like, you're giving away the book. But this is basically the table of contents. Okay, so it's nothing to, no huge spoilers. But these are the chapters that we're going to work through. And Tripp has very helpfully kind of taken each one of these chapters and boiled it down to a sentence or two. And so I want to give this to you, and I would encourage you, put this on your fridge, put this in your Bible. This will give you a roadmap of where we're going in this class, number one. But number two, I would love for us to use this as a prayer sheet for ourselves and for each other. that these are the principles and the perspectives and the paradigms that we need to have, that we want to have present and active in our families if we are to be faithful to the covenant vows and commitments that we have made. So I'll leave those for you to look over. Some of them may prompt some questions. Great. Come to those classes and we'll talk about those things. But that's what we're aiming to do. So we're just about out of time now, but are there any last questions, comments, anything to add? All right. Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that speaks to our lives and relationships. And we thank you that you do work through parenting, not just to shape our kids into what they need to be, but to shape us into what we need to be. And help us to remember, Father, that even as we are parents, even as we are mothers and fathers, that we're also children. We're sons and daughters of the King, and that we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect and who is both an example for us and who is an actual parent to us, who is patient with us in our weakness, who reproves, rebukes, and exhorts us with love to see us conformed to the image of your Son. And we do pray, Lord, that as we walk through this class over the next 7 weeks, that you would bless us and challenge us to grow in letting our relationships be saturated with the savor of the gospel. And I pray that the material that we cover in this class, the conversations that we have outside of this class, would be a blessing to us and to our children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.